Message for 1902. The Old and the New Commandment. Beloved brethren, another year of God's loving providence for his people in times of persecution has marked the history of Christian Science. With no special effort to achieve this result, our church communicants constantly increase in number, unity, steadfastness. 2,784 members have been added to our church during the year ending June 1902, making total 24,278 members. While our branch churches are multiplying everywhere and blossoming as the rose. Evil, though combined in formidable conspiracy, is made to glorify God. The scripture declares, "The wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." Whatever seems calculated to displace or discredit the ordinary systems of religious beliefs and opinions, wrestling only with material observation, has always met with opposition and detraction. This ought not so to be, for a system that honors God and benefits mankind should be welcomed and sustained. While Christian Science engaging the attention of philosopher and sage is circling the globe, only the earnest, honest investigator sees through the mist of mortal strife this day star and whither it guides. To live and let live without clamor for distinction or recognition, to wait on divine love, to write truth first on the tablet of one's own heart. This is the sanity and perfection of living and my human ideal. The science of man and the universe, in contradistinction to all error, is on the way, and truth makes haste to meet and to welcome it. It is purifying all peoples, religions, ethics, and learning, and making the children our teachers. Within the last decade, religion in the United States has passed from stern Protestantism to doubtful liberalism. God speed the right. The wise builders will build on the stone at the head of the corner. And so Christian Science, the little leaven hid in three measures of meal, ethics, medicine, and religion, is rapidly fermenting and enlightening the world with the glory of untrammeled truth. The present modifications in ecclesiasticism are an outcome of progress. Dogmatism, relegated to the past, gives place to a more spiritual manifestation wherein Christ is Alpha and Omega. It was an inherent characteristic of my nature, a kind of birthmark, to love the church, and the church once loved me. Then why not remain friends, or at least agree to disagree in love, part fair foes? I never left the church, either in heart or in doctrine. I but began where the church left off. When the churches and I round the gospel of grace, in the circle of love, we shall meet again, never to part. I have always taught the student to overcome evil with good, used no other means myself, and 10,000 loyal Christian Scientists to one disloyal bear testimony to this fact. The loosening cords of non-Christian religions in the Orient are apparent. It is cause for joy that among the educated classes, Buddhism and Shintoism are said to be regarded now more as a philosophy than as a religion. I rejoice that the President of the United States has put an end at Charleston to any lingering sense of the North half hostility to the South, thus reinstating the old national family pride and joy in the sisterhood of states. Our nation's forward step was the inauguration of home rule in Cuba, our military forces withdrawing and leaving her in the enjoyment of self-government under improved laws. It is well that our government, in its brief occupation of that pearl of the ocean, has so improved her public school system that her dusky children are learning to read and write. The world rejoices with our sister nation over the close of the conflict in South Africa. Now British and Boer may prosper in peace, wiser at the close than the beginning of war. The dazzling diadem of royalty will sit easier on the brow of good King Edward. The muffled fear of death and triumph conquer not his coronation and woman's thoughts. The joy of the sainted queen and the lay of angels hallowed the ring of state. It does not follow that power must mature into oppression. Indeed, right is the only real potency, and the only true ambition is to serve God and to help the race. Envy is the atmosphere of hell. According to Holy Writ, the first lie and leap into perdition began with "Believe in me." Competition in commerce, deceit in councils, dishonor in nations, dishonesty in trusts begin with "Who shall be greatest?" I again repeat, follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ. I cordially congratulate our Board of Lectureship and Publication Committee on their adequacy and correct analysis of Christian Science. Let us all pray at this communion season for more grace, a more fulfilled life and spiritual understanding, bringing music to the ear, rapture to the heart, a fathomless peace between soul and sense, and that our works be as worthy as our words. My subject today embraces the first commandment in the Hebrew Decalogue and the new commandment in the Gospel of Peace, both ringing like soft vesper chimes adown the corridors of time and echoing and re-echoing through the measureless rounds of eternity. God as love. The first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," is a law never to be abrogated, a divine statute for yesterday and today and forever. I shall briefly consider these two commandments in a few of their infinite meanings applicable to all periods, past, present, and future. Alternately, transported and alarmed by abstruse problems of scripture, we are liable to turn from them as impractical or beyond the ken of mortals and past finding out. Our thoughts of the Bible utter our lives. A silent night foretells the dawn and din of morn, as the dullness of today prophesies renewed energy for tomorrow, so the pagan philosophies and tribal religions of yesterday but foreshadowed the spiritual dawn of the 20th century, religion parting with its materiality. Christian Science stills all distress over doubtful interpretations of the Bible. It lights the fires of the Holy Ghost and floods the world with the baptism of Jesus. It is this ethereal flame, this almost unconceived light of divine love that heaven husbands in the first commandment. For man to be thoroughly subordinated to this commandment, God must be intelligently considered and understood. The ever-recurring human question and wonder, what is God, can never be answered satisfactorily by human hypothesis or philosophy. Divine metaphysics and St. John have answered this great question forever in these words: God is love. This absolute definition of deity is the theme for time and for eternity. It is iterated in the law of God, reiterated in the gospel of Christ, voiced in the thunder of Sinai, and breathed in the Sermon on the Mount. Hence our Master saying, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Since God is love and infinite, why should mortals conceive of a law, propound a question, formulate a doctrine, or speculate on the existence of anything which is an antipode of infinite love and the manifestation thereof? The sacred command, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," silences all questions on this subject and forever forbids the thought of any other reality, since it is impossible to have aught unlike the infinite. The knowledge of life, substance, or law, apart or other than God good, is forbidden. The curse of love and truth was pronounced upon a lie, upon false knowledge, the fruits of the flesh, not spirit. Since knowledge of evil, of something besides God good, brought death into the world on the basis of a lie, love and truth destroy this knowledge, and Christ's truth demonstrated and continues to demonstrate this grand verity, saving the sinner and healing the sick. Jesus said, "A lie fathers itself," thereby showing that God made neither evil nor its consequences. Here all human woe is seen to obtain in a false claim, an untrue consciousness, an impossible creation, yea, something that is not of God. The Christianization of mortals, whereby the mortal concept and all it includes is obliterated, lets in the divine sense of being, fulfills the law in righteousness and consummates the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. All Christian faith, hope and prayer, all devout desire, virtually petition, make me the image and likeness of divine love. Through Christ, truth, divine metaphysics points the way, demonstrates heaven here, the struggle over and victory on the side of truth. In the degree that man becomes spiritually minded, he becomes godlike. Saint Paul writes, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Divine science fulfills the law and the gospel, wherein God is infinite love, including nothing unlovely, producing nothing unlike himself, the true nature of love, intact and eternal. Divine metaphysics concedes no origin or causation apart from God. It accords all to God, Spirit, and his infinite manifestations of love, man and the universe. In the first chapter of Genesis, matter, sin, disease, and death enter not into the category of creation or consciousness. Minus this spiritual understanding of Scripture, of God and his creation, neither philosophy, nature, nor grace can give man the true idea of God, divine love, sufficiently to fulfill the first commandment. The Latin omni, which signifies all, used as an English prefix to the words potence, presence, science, signifies all power, all presence, all science. Use these words to define God, and nothing is left to consciousness but love, without beginning and without end, even the forever I am and all, than which there is not else. Thus we have scriptural authority for divine metaphysics, spiritual man and the universe coexistent with God. No other logical conclusion can be drawn from the premises, and no other scientific proposition can be Christianly entertained.